This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Last night, the two North Carolinians who are vying for a seat in the U.S. Senate met in their only debate. Republican incumbent Richard Burr and Democratic challenger Deborah Ross traded barbs on immigration, HB2, and who they support for president. Polls are showing a tight race, ad spending very high on both sides. Time Warner Cable Washington correspondent Jeff Bennett joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be with you.
Well, the intensity, the times, given all the other political news around these days, there could be no more intensity and no more importance. This is a very important debate as well. Tell us what happened last night.
An important debate that really struck me as a civil and substantive exchange of ideas, especially when you consider or compare it to the unconventional, if not, you know, downright bizarre presidential debates. Mm-hmm. You know, Burr's been in Congress for more than 20 years. Ross is new to national politics, but the two largely stayed on message, and they covered major issues such as immigration, policing, defeating ISIS, the potential for intervention in Syria, and the foreign policy and national security questions were really on Senator Burr's home turf since he chairs the Senate Intelligence Committee. But they also covered state-specific issues, too, as you mentioned, you know, such as the impact of House Bill 2.
Right. And of course, the big issue on everybody's mind, who you're going to support for president. And the moderator asked about support for presidential candidates. How do they respond?
Well, Ross had to address Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server to conduct State Department business. She relitigated that. And Burr, of course, was asked about the latest allegations of sexual misconduct by Donald Trump. Senator Burr is sticking by Donald Trump, even as some of his Republican Senate colleagues choose not to. And he stated that last night. The challenge for Burr is that polls show that candidates who now disavow Donald Trump, the GOP's nominee for president, they pay a serious penalty with the base in their states that still support him. So Burr is effectively stuck now.
And it's not just the allegations of sexual abuse, but the fact that we've heard Donald Trump bragging about committing sexual assault. So that's one of the other things. So here's what Richard Burr says.
I'm not going to defend Donald Trump, what he said, or his actions. I've spoken out quickly and loudly when I disagreed with something. But when I look at our choice, it's not close for me. I'm going to support my nominee. I'm going to support Donald Trump.
Senator Richard Burr running for re-election in the state of North Carolina. And, of course, the question, as you pointed out, Jeff, number one, what happens to candidates who run away from Trump? It hurts them with their base. On the other hand, it looks like the polls are showing that Donald Trump threatens to have a negative impact on down-ballot races in the state of North Carolina.
Well, that's right. And Donald Trump is running out of ways to win the election nationally. The problem for the GOP is that large portions of the undecided electorate, particularly women, are abandoning Donald Trump at a rapid pace. And the fear is that Republican-leaning women, particularly women in the suburbs, may stay home altogether rather than go to the polls to vote for Donald Trump. That, of course, would affect everyone who is on the ticket with Donald Trump. And a 2-3% drop could swing a state that's as closely as divided as North Carolina is right now.
A big campaign issue was raised last night, the notion that Deborah Ross may have opposed the state's sex offender registry. So tell us about that conversation.
Well, yeah, Burr hammered Ross on this issue, as his campaign has done for the last few months, really. The issue here is that when Ross served as the executive director of the North Carolina American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, she raised concerns about a 1995 bill that established a statewide sex offender registry. She said it might, in her words, make it even harder for people to reintegrate into society and start over, and that could lead to vigilantism. And so we heard this issue come up again last night. Now, she says that when she was considering this bill, she was considering it like a good lobbyist. And that was her probably one big unforced error of the night. Lobbyists are, of course, maligned by both sides of the political spectrum. But I have to tell you, the Ross campaign feels like Burr's argument on this is undercut, mainly because he's standing by Donald Trump. And the Ross campaign, as do many Democrats, now consider Donald Trump to be a sexual predator, given what he said on the Access Hollywood tape and given some of these allegations that have come to the fore. Donald Trump and his campaign obviously dispute those claims.
And the fact checking that has been done. We'll talk about fact checking on both campaigns. But since this is the issue before us now, the fact checking shows that the In fact, the sponsor of that bill that would have created the registry, Fountain Odom, said, no, it's not true at all that Deborah Ross opposed that. In fact, what she did was raise questions about it, and then Deborah Ross spoke in her own behalf.
Well, I think 18 votes definitely are clear actions. And I find it disturbing that Senator Burr doesn't believe my actions, but he's willing to forgive Donald Trump for admitting that he sexually assaults women.
And the fact check again on those 18 votes, some of those votes that Deborah Ross voted in favor of was more money for law enforcement to track offenders, tougher penalties for sex offenders, more GPS monitoring, made it a more serious crime for an offender to live within 1,000 feet of school, and there were others. So that's the fact check on the ads and on that. Now, Deborah Ross, on the other hand, tries to paint Richard Burr as the consummate Washington insider. Let's talk about, first of all, the Stock Act and his opposition to that. What is the Stock Act?
So that legislation was a direct result of a 60 Minutes investigation 5 years ago that exposed how members of Congress and their staff members legally traded stocks based on secret information, non-public information that they might have had exclusive access to. And Burr was one of only three senators to have voted against that act, the Stock Act, which prevented lawmakers from trading on non-public information. Now, as the bill was being debated at the time, Burr made the argument that there were already laws to stop insider trading on Capitol Hill and that the legislation was redundant. Last night, I believe he said the same thing, called it unnecessary. And so he said spending time on it was ludicrous. But Ross is using that vote to call into question his judgment and make this argument that he's a Washington insider who's merely out for himself.
All right. Well, let's hear an exchange on that subject.
Well, she attacked my wife. This is the first time in 22 years, 24 years to be exact, that my family's been brought into a campaign. I'm proud of my wife. I find it disgusting that anybody would question her success. And I think, quite frankly, my wife deserves an apology.
Ms. Ross.
Well, Senator, I have the utmost respect for your wife, and I have the utmost respect for women who work and make money, more money than their husbands do, and support their families.
Now, Jeff, what does Burr's wife have to do with his opposition to a bill that would prohibit insider trading from members of Congress?
Right. Well, the implicit argument is that Burr voted against the Stock Act as a way to make himself rich, to line his own pockets. And the Burr campaign is saying that Burr is wealthy, but it's because of his wife's income. And last night he said that she, along with a few other business partners, started a real estate company, and that her income is responsible for 66% of their total income. And so he's making the argument that as Ross attacks him, she's essentially attacking his wife, this woman who has made this money on behalf of the two of them as a couple.
Well, we did a fact check on Burr's claim that Deborah Ross opposed a sex offender registry. As we say, the sponsor of that bill says that's not true. Let's take a look at the fact check on the other side. The claim by Deborah Ross that, quote, you took millions from special interests, went there and cashed in, voted to cut your own taxes and raise taxes on working folks. So you took a lot of money. According to PolitiFact, that's a bit misleading. In fact, they called it a half-truth. Special interest, yes, do give money to the campaign, but not directly to politicians. That would be bribery. Nobody's accusing him of that. He did receive the most PAC contributions for any Senate candidate. This year, Burr's campaign, number one recipient of contributions from tobacco and pharmaceutical industries, but he didn't get it personally, and that makes that only half-truth. Let's talk about this race again. You made reference to it originally, and now let's talk a little bit more. This was going to be something the Republicans didn't even have to think about. Burr was a shoo-in. They're neck and neck right now. Tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, an NBC Wall Street Journal poll released yesterday found the two candidates are actually tied with 46% each of likely voters. Two other polls released yesterday gave Burr a slight lead, and then the Real Clear Politics polling average has Burr up by roughly 2 points. So it appears that it's his race by a close margin, but it's his race to lose at the moment. But Burr has faced criticism even from members of his own party for not campaigning more actively, more seriously earlier on. He has a relatively laid-back approach. He said he didn't want to campaign until the Senate had adjourned. But the other thing here is about the money, the fundraising. Ross raked in a really impressive third quarter fundraising total of nearly $4.3 million. And she had already outraised Burr in the first half of the year, which is stunning for a challenger with little to no name ID in the state. Now she has decidedly more name ID. But, you know, Burr isn't in the poorhouse either. He's getting a major boost from a GOP super PAC, the Senate Leadership Fund, which has reserved about $8 million in ads on his behalf.
Math is changing, too, on the probability that Democrats might take the Senate. Tell us about that battle for control.
Yeah, well, Democrats are looking to this race in mapping their path to the majority in the Senate. It really could be a bellwether for the Senate and for the presidency. President Obama, or then-candidate Obama, turned North Carolina blue in 2008. Romney won it back in 2012. The candidates know what all political watchers know is that the state's demographics have changed significantly since Burr last won his seat in 2010. The electorate is younger. It's more educated, more diverse. Those are all trends that generally help Democrats. And it's also true that people are moving from the state's smaller rural areas that lean conservative to bigger cities, you know, like Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham. So, you know, resources from both sides are pouring into North Carolina. And as people listening know very well, there's no escaping TV ads or even the candidates themselves. Donald Trump is in Charlotte and Greensboro today. I'm sure the Clintons will be back in the state as they have just as soon as next week.
Jeff Bennett, thank you. Always a pleasure. Thanks for talking with us.
Sure thing. Take care.
Jeff Bennett is Time Warner Cable Washington correspondent. Just ahead, a whistleblower shares his experience about telling a story about a true story, it turns out, about a fellow police officer, the impact that had on him. You will hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.